Dr. Jim, and for keeping him healthy one more week, or coming despite the pain that he has, and just bless all of us tonight. Amen.
Amen. Well, I've got my 10th unit on tonight. I'm trying to stay above ground. Saturday is my birthday, and I'm trying to make it to my birthday. I didn't think I was going to make it this week, I tell you. Huh?
How old are you going to be?
67. Yeah, just 67. It's not, as Randy used to say, it is not the years, it's the miles. The miles. Yeah.
I thought you and I was the same age. I'm 65. I just turned 65, but you're going to be 67.
Yeah.
I don't think you and I were the same age.
No, I'm a little older. I got started real early in the year, too. Yeah, so in January. Yeah, I was born on the same day Al Capone was, you know.
Really?
and Martin Luther King.
It's a January what?
18th. Yeah, January the 18th. Anyway, John 6:25. Kai, erontes, auton, heron, tes, thalasses, apon, autu, rabe, ote, hode, yegonos. And having found him across of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, how in the world did you get here? That's basically what he said. How did you get here so quick? Remember last week, he was out there in the middle of the sea, and God moved that boat real fast. Woof! All of a sudden, it was instantly over there to the shore. Just zip, like that. And they were really surprised, and they didn't know how in the world he got there that quickly. All right? Now, all through the scriptures, there are participles, and there are prepositions and adverbs and all that. I want to read you a little story about prepositions. We talked about prepositions. How many of you know the rule of the Greek preposition eis? I know Cindy does. Extension or limitation of the thought or verbal action. Acts 2:30, it means you're baptized because you have been saved. Simple as that. It shows the idea of the action. Now let me read you just a little bit about prepositions. Prepositions are adverbs in Greek. Prepositions? That's completely... I saw you. That's weird, isn't it? That's not English. Prepositions are adverbs specialized to define action. More clearly, the meaning of cases, and many of which come to be used as opposition with verbs. Prepositions were originally free adverbs. These adverbs were brought gradually into closer relationship with nouns, and many of them into closer connection with verbs. Prepositions are used to bring out more clearly the idea and action of syntax of the verse. Okay? They help the cases. The cases call in the preposition to aid in expressing more sharply the meaning of the case. It is the case which indicates the meaning of the prepositions and not the preposition which gives the meaning to the case. Then, strictly speaking, prepositions in Greek do not govern cases or rule cases, but the Greek preposition eis is like the sign of direct object in Hebrew, which is et. All right? Et. Acts 2:38. That is the idea, the extension or limitation of thought or verbal action, and that gives you the idea of the preposition. It's very, very important because you get off on the wrong things. You're Church of Christ people baptized for the remission of sins, unto them. And that verse there, the ace, is looking back to salvation. You're baptized because you have been saved. All right? The cases used with prepositions are oblative, genitive, locative, instrumental, and accusative. The dative case is not used with any of the preposition in the New Testament except probably ungus in Acts 9 and 38 and epi sometimes. That's the dative case, two or four. All right? Now, did you understand that just a little better? All right, Brother Roger, you're on the carpet tonight. What are the two tenses in Hebrew?
Perfect and imperfect.
Perfect and imperfect. What does a perfect tense tell you? What does that tell you? It's done thing. All right? It's a done thing. And the imperfect tells you that it's in progress. Now, Greek, as we look at Greek and the action of Greek verbs, it's so gigantic, more than what Hebrew is. But we looked at the Hebrew the other night. I taught about 45 minutes on Hebrew tenses. And to give them the idea, the first two verbs in the Hebrew Bible are in what tense?
Perfect
tense. Cal, perfect. Cal, stem, perfect tense. That's one. In beginnings, created. Created is in the perfect tense. And then the next one is what? And the earth, she became formless and void. That's the action. You need to understand the action. Hebrew is a language of action, and Greek is a language of perfection. It tells you action. It tells you everything. It just is very complicated. 626. These people wanted another handout. They're still hungry. Remember what I told you last week? People, when they get free food, they eat a lot. They eat a lot. They just gorge themselves. Apokrite, autois, hoesus, kai, epein, amen, amen, lego, himen, zetete, me, uk, hote, edete, semia, all hote, ephagete, ekton arton, kai, ekor tas tete. And he desired to them, or he answered to them, that is, he calls to answer to them the Jesus, and he said, truly, truly, I say to you, ye seek me, not because ye saw signs, but because ye ate. Out of the loaves, and they were satisfied. They were satisfied. The word phagete means to be very hungry. All right? That means to eat with great hunger. To gorge yourself. And you ate the loaves of bread. And now you want more. All right, now you want more. There was a term in China. The Southern Baptist Convention went over there and made a lot of mistakes missionizing those people. They really did. First of all, they supported, we sent missionaries and pastors and we taught our people how to speak Chinese, and we went and spoke to them, and they came to church, and we fed them rice. And a lot of them came to church and fed rice. Well, when there was a great problem over there, and it was illegal to become Christians anymore, they had no people, no indigenous people that could preach the gospel or anything. And it just went poof and went away. What the Bible teach you? What does the Bible teach you to do? You go out and you make disciples, and you build churches of those disciples. If they'd have had churches over there, it would have been good because they would have taken care of themselves. Every other place, they did that. In Russia, there's underground churches. And in China, there's underground churches now. And in North Korea, if there's a church there at all, it's going to be underground, I can guarantee you. All right. 6:27. Ye work not for the food, all right, the perishing, but the food, the remaining unto life eternal, which the Son of the Man to ye, he shall give. This one, for the Father, he sealed the God. All right? Basically, he said to them, you don't want spiritual bread and water, but the base and physical food that only satisfies for a short time. You can eat, and in a little while, you get hungry again. I bet you do that a lot, don't you, Jacob? Get eating, you're ready to eat again pretty soon. You go eat Chinese food in 2 or 3 hours, especially if you've got monosodium, or what is it called, monosodium glutamate in it, it'll make you hungry. And you'll want to eat because you're inflamed your tummy, and boy, you're hungry and ravenous hungry again, you want to eat just a little while. Yeah. That's what he's talking about here. Penny, do you have that on your little amplified Bible up there? You want to come up here and read the last couple of verses for me?
And when they found him on the other side of the lake, they said to him, Rabbi, where have you come from? Jesus answered them, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, you have been searching for me, not because you saw the miracles and signs, but because you were fed with the loaves and were filled and satisfied. Stop toiling and doing and producing for the food that perishes and decomposes in the using, but strive and work and produce rather for the lasting food, which endures continually unto life eternal. The Son of Man will give, or furnish you that, for God the Father has authorized and certified him and put his seal of endorsement upon him.
All right, thank you. Now this bread, the food, but the food, the remaining unto life eternal. Look at that word, remaining unto life eternal. What is the word for eternity in Hebrew, Brother Roger? Know what that word is?
Something kind of like that?
Olam. You know what that means? It means to conceal. Now, in Greek, the idea for eternity means to stack 1 year, 1 day, upon another, eis toni on. But in Hebrew, the meaning means eternity also, but it has kind of a different idea of eternity. It means to conceal. All right? To conceal. It means that we can only imagine. How many of you can imagine when God created the heavens and the earth? Huh? Can you even imagine that? Go way back in eternity. How many can fathom the idea of eternity? That's good. Because that's what an eternity means. Eternity means a time whose end or beginning withdraws itself from perception. We can't understand it. It's so long ago or so far ahead. That's eternity. But this kind of bread is going to last you that long for eternity. For eternity. In Greek it's ages, eis toni on. But in Greek, it's olam, that which is hidden, that which we can't even imagine happening, that which we can't even imagine. 6:28. This is a long chapter here. We're going to be a long time in chapter 6. I'm trying to move along a little. Ipon. Un. Pros. Auton. T. Poyoman, Hina, Ergaz, Za, Zometha, Ha, Erga, Tuthiu. All right. And they said, therefore, to him, by the way, that word, a poem there, that comes from Lego, believe it or not, but it's Second Aorist. That's why it looks different. What's Second Aorist tell us? Any of you remember what Second Aorist is? Second Aorist. You remember that, Corey? Second Aorist. First Aorist? First Aorist is time like this, punctiliar knife blade action. Second Aorist is time like this. It's punctiliar action, but it's durative linear. It appears at time, okay? It's still punctiliar, but it's a little bit longer, right? And they said, third person plural, second aorist, indicative active, they said, therefore, to him, what we may do in order that we may work the works of the God. We'd like to do this, too. We'd be able, like to be able to multiply bread. Remember there in the book of Acts, there was a person that came up to the apostles and asked them, can I buy this gift? He wanted to buy it. Remember that guy? Yeah, he wanted to buy the gift of God that so they could be able to do miracles. You could sell a lot of stuff if you could do miracles, couldn't you, if you was a street peddler? 629. Apocrite, poesus, kai, epain, autois, tuto, eston, to, ergon, tu theu, hina, pistio, pistuos, ete, ace, hon, apestelain, ekinos. Here we have two demonstrative pronouns in this verse. All right? Two demonstrative pronouns. And he answered. There we have a preposition in front of a crino, which means to judge. To from answer. Or to catch up in speech. To catch up in your debate, literally is what it means. And he answered to caught up in speech, the Jesus. And he said to them, this thing. See that word tuto right there? Tuto means right here, right up close. That's a demonstrative pronoun that is up close. This thing right here you can touch. Okay? This thing, it is the work of the God. This thing that he's talking about. This power to multiply bread. This power to make bread or to rain bread out of heaven. In order that ye might believe. Now look at this. We believe in, or at least I believe, that God gives every man volition. We all agree that in God's foreknowledge, He wrote down our names before the world was ever created in the Lamb's Book of Life. We believe that, don't we? That's what the Bible says. But in space and time, we do have volition. That's the most dangerous gift God ever gave man, volition. Because we can follow Him, or we may not follow Him. As children of God, we may follow Him. As people, humans, as individuals of the human race, we may damn ourselves to hell if we so please. We can do that by not coming to His call. That ye might believe. Second person plural present, subjunctive active. Subjunctive mode is what mode is that? Remember what that one is? Brandy, you remember what subjunctive mode is? That's the mode of doubtful or maybe. That's the maybe mode. Maybe affirmation. May or you may or you may not. As simple as that.
He places the will
in man. That's right. And you were going to see it over and over and over in this chapter of the Gospel of John that man does have a will. Believe it or not, he does have a will. That you might believe. Because of whom he sent. Now look at that word ace there. Why do you believe? Why do you believe? Because. Here, ace should be translated because. In Acts 2:38, it should be translated because. And right here, it should be, you might believe because of the one, accusative singular, relative pronoun, that little hole there. He sent that one over there. Here's another demonstrative pronoun, but he's talking about himself. He sent that one. That one that he promised in Genesis 3:15. Now let's go to Acts 2:38 real quick so you can understand another reason why this word eis is translated. It's a Greek preposition. And it should be translated because. They were going to believe because he did the miracles. That's why he did the miracles, to prove that he was the Messiah. Acts 2:38. Let's look at it. I'm going to translate it to you from Greek. And verse number 37. And having heard, they were stabbed down deep in their hearts, stabbed down deep in the hearts of them, and said to the Peter and to the ones remaining apostles, what may we do, men and brothers? What are we going to do? You were convicted of our sins. We're convicted of killing the Messiah. What must we do? Okay? And then Peter, he answers the whole bunch, all of them. The whole bunch. And Peter, to them, he said, everyone repent. You all repent. All of you repent. Every one of you repent. Everyone that was there should have repented. Do you think maybe they did? Some did and some didn't. Did people ever go to church that don't get saved? Did they ever walk out of church lost? Of course they do. Okay? And some of these repented and some of them did not repent. Okay? That's because they have a volition. Remember? Volition. They have a will. And allow each one of you to be dipped. Each one. Hescatos, exkatos there. Each one. Singular. That has repented now. All of you repent. But each one of you that has repented, allow yourselves to be baptized upon the authority of Jesus Christ because of the forgiveness of the sins of you, and ye shall, those, each one of you that has repented and each one of you that has been baptized shall receive the gift, the free gift, that's dorion, the free gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, in church history, sometimes in different groups and people in church history, some churches don't baptize. You know that. Because they think if you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you don't need to be baptized. But you're never going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit until you get baptized. Did you know that? That's right. The only place that the Holy Spirit rests today as the administrator of God's kingdom is in God's churches. Okay? First of all here, there's a plural command, isn't there? Everybody needs to repent. And those people that have repented, each one of you need to allow yourself to be dipped by the authority of Jesus. And after you get dipped, guess what? That's when you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's when you get the gift. That's when you get the leadership of the Holy Spirit. When you're saved, you get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But the gift of the Holy Spirit only comes after baptism. Only comes after baptism, not before baptism, but after baptism. Now you repent because, or you're baptized because you have been saved. Does that make it a little bit plainer? You get the idea of the extension or limitation of the thought or verbal action in the preposition eis. All right? That's why we did all this preposition thing before tonight.
Just getting saved, that's the Holy Spirit indwell us, but for him to leave.
But the gift of the Holy Spirit is in the church. Not that it does not come upon saved people. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit, the administration of the Holy Spirit, the understanding, the leadership as the administrator of the Holy Spirit is in the church. All right? And that's where you get it, is in the church.
I thought you said that he started leading us after we were baptized.
The gift of the Holy Spirit is in the church. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is in each saved. There's two different There's two different works of the Holy Spirit of God. Everybody in the Old Testament was saved and they were sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. That's the only way you're ever going to get resurrected is when you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. But you do not have the Holy Spirit of God as a leadership in your life until after you're saved and you join the true New Testament church. Okay? There's where you get it. Why do churches that don't have the gift of the Holy Spirit, how do they get so mixed up doctrinally? Because they don't have the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Simple as that. That's why they get so doctrinally mixed up. It's because they don't have the leadership as the administrators of God's kingdom. All right? Did that help you a little bit on that? I know, Bill, you were fussing with this for a long time in your head. All right, so we've got two kinds of this's here, a this and a that. This here and that over there. Tuto is this here, and ekinos is that over there. All right, two kinds of demonstrative pronouns. I hope I'm not wearing you out with too much deep Greek grammar tonight. This, all right? All right, 6 and verse 30. Apon, alto, un, alto, ti, un, poies, si, semion, hina, hidomen, kai, pistuosomen, si, ti, ergaze. And they said, therefore, to him, they said, third person plural, second aorist indicative act, do you see the action? What would this be in Hebrew, Brother Roger? How would this be? Aha! Uh-huh. That's a little harder. That would be call while consecutive and perfect. Okay, that's the way you would translate that. All right? It's got a kind of an idea of completed action, but it's got a little that in it. Continuing in it, okay? And they said, therefore, to him, what, then, you do? You assign in order that, listen to this. Who gets you saved? It's the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit working on your body, convicting you to be saved. Okay? But who seals it? When you relinquish your will. Okay? And every time in the Bible it's like that, and John uses it beautifully. And we may see first person plural, second aorist. Indicative, I mean not indicative, but active in what? What mode is it? Subjunctive, that's the maybe mode. And the maybe is you, your volition, your will. Right? And the we may believe, first person plural, first aorist. Now, how long does it take to get saved? Huh? I mean, that's knife blade action. You only get saved one time, but when you're saved, it's like that. I mean, it's done. And over with. Only once and forever. See that? The action in Greek is so beautiful. It's like a razor blade action. Alright? That we may believe. First person plural, first aorist. Subjunctive. Who's going to believe? Alright? And sometimes you will see it even in the middle voice, which we're going to see sooner or later. That you may believe you what you work. Third, second person singular, present indicative active from Erderzamai. That you may work. All right. 6:31. Rebecca, would you mind coming up here and reading from where Penny read a while ago, 27 to 30?
Stop toiling and doing and producing for the food that perishes and decomposes in the using, but strive and work and produce rather for the lasting food which endures continually unto life eternal. The man of God will give, furnish you that, for God the Father has authorized and certified him and put his seal of endorsement upon him. Then they said, what are we to do that we may habitually be working the works of God? What are we to do to carry out what God requires? Jesus replied, this is the work service that God asks of you, that you believe in the one whom he has sent. that you cleave to, trust, rely on, and have faith in his messenger. Therefore they said to him, what sign, miracle, wonder work will you perform then, so that we may see it and believe and rely and adhere to you? What supernatural work have you to show that you can do?
All right, thank you. 6:31. God already did it, didn't he? He actually already did it. Ho pateres. Himon. Ho manah. That's Hebrew right there. That's what we call a transliteration. Ephagon. En te eremu. Kathos. Estin. Gegra menon. Arto. Ek tu uranu. Edokin. Altois. Now this here is, it's capital. Alright, these are capitals. Fogging. Alright. In Exodus 16, 4, 15, and 21, Numbers 11 and 8, Psalm 78 and verse 24, Nehemiah 9, 15, Psalm 105 and verse 40. Let's go back to Exodus 16, 4 through 7. Exodus 16, 4 through 7. Exodus 16, 4 through 7. Who's got that? Anyone have that? Exodus 16, 4 through 7? We're getting over here close to all of this in our Sunday night study. You have that, Brandy?
Uh-huh.
You want to come up here and read that for me, please?
Exodus 16.
16, 4 through 7. Yeah.
Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us?
All right, thank you. What's God going to do here in the Old Testament? He's going to give them a type of Jesus Christ. He's going to give them a type of Jesus that was to come. This bread out of heaven was a type of Christ. Okay? It was a type of His life. Now, 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. I'm going to go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Maybe. Verse number 23, 1 Corinthians 11, 23. Do you have that over there, Rebecca? Do you have that in Amplified, or which one are you looking at? Okay, we'll just bring that one up here then. 11 and 23. Jesus is, for the rest of this chapter, in the Gospel of John, he's going to be telling them this very story right here. He's trying to get them to see this. Later on, he just totally unfolds it to his church.
Which one?
23.
For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread.
Uh-huh. No, we'll read on from there.
And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
And then verse 25.
In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
26.
For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You see what's going on there? You see what's going on at that time? What is it? What's happening there? Later on, after he's just about to go to the cross of Calvary, and then he tells them what the manna in the Old Testament was about. He tells them. And here, John lays it out plainly. For the rest of this chapter, he just keeps going back. I am the manna. What is manna? What does manna mean in Hebrew? What is it? Manna. Say manna. That means what is it? This is what is it? Ma. That's what? Ma. What? What is it? Manna. What is it? Okay. And the fathers of us, the manna, they ate. Third person plural, second aorist, indicative active. They did it for a while back there, didn't they? In the desert. All right? Midbar is what it is in Hebrew, midbar. In the desert, out there in the desert. You know what was out in that desert, Brother Mike? Not much. Huh? It's not enough to feed the animals that they took, and not enough to feed them. The word midbar comes from the word dabar in Hebrew, and it means to drive cattle in a line. A cattle drive. This is what we call a cow drive, or a cattle drive. And it's driving them and letting them eat grass as you go. Now, what the Bible doesn't tell us, that God's making the grass grow real good out there to feed these animals. It doesn't tell us that. But the people don't have enough food, so He rains down bread from heaven. And He does that for how many days a week? 6 days. And on the sixth day, what was going to happen? They were going to get twice as much manna that day, what is it, that they did the others, and so they'll have enough for 2 days. They'll have enough for 2 days, not just one. Now, some of the people are greedy. Some people are greedy, aren't they? Never get enough. Okay? And some people want more than they have, and this was the test right there. Will you go out there and you pick up enough manna on the sixth day to where you'll have enough to eat on that seventh day? And then some people went out there, even on the seventh day, and to pick up manna, and what happened to them? Huh? They got killed. And people that would go out and buy and pick up more manna than what they really needed, what would happen to it? It rotted. So you didn't have any left over. Okay? Because it was the type of what? The type of Jesus' body and blood. Okay? It was a type of Jesus' body and blood. And so they don't waste it. It's precious. It's holy. It is a gift of God. What is salvation, a gift, or is something you do or work for? It's a gift. Dorion. All right, in the desert, that midbar, that cattle drive out there where you drive cattle because there's not enough food to rest out there and stay there for a long time. Just as it is, having been written. Look at that one. Perfect participle passive, having been written. Bread, out of the heaven, out of the heaven. Hashimayim, in Hebrew, He gave to them. To eat. Bread out of heaven He gave to them to eat. Of course, we went back in Exodus 16th chapter and looked at that. You can go and read it in all the other scriptures that I gave you. Gave to you. 632. Apan un autois ho Jesus. Amen, amen. Lego himen. U Moses edoken. Himen ton arton ek tu aranu alla al ho pater mu dedusen. Himen ton arton ek tu uranu ton alethano. All right. Now they had the Old Testament, didn't they? Regardless of what some archaeologists and theologians and things say today, they say after they were cast out one and only into the Babylonian captivity. That's when they wrote Moses' books and all that kind of stuff. Moses wrote those books. Much long time before that. And he said, therefore, to them, to Jesus, amen, amen. What does amen, amen mean? What's amen mean? Huh? What? What does it literally mean? What does amen really mean? It comes from Persian, doesn't it? It goes from Persian, it goes into Hebrew, it goes into Greek, and then into English. What does it mean, Brandy?
It means to support the word, like to give.
That's right. You got it. The tent poles. The tent poles that hold up the tent. It means to support. To affirm. It's a particle of affirmation here. Okay. And it means to affirm, or it means to hold up, or to support. Tent poles support a tent. If you don't have tent poles, Bill, what do you got? You got a blanket. That's what you got. You got to have tent pole, all right, to hold the tent up. Otherwise, it's just a blanket, just a quilt or whatever. Most affirmatively, I say, let go, first person singing the present dignity back to you all, not Moses. Moses. How do you say Moses in Hebrew? Moshe. Moshe, and what does Moshe mean? Moshe means to draw out. Means to draw out or also to rescue. Moses, he has given to ye the bread. He did that in the Old Testament time. Out of the heaven. But, strong adversative conjunction, page 15 is where that one's found. The Father of me, he gives to ye the bread out of the heaven, the true. What he's telling them there is Moses gave bread to those Jews out there, Israelites out there in the wilderness, the Midbar or the Aramu. And they all died. They all died. But the bread that I'm going to give to you, if you partake of it, you will have eternal life. Period. You will never die. They died, but you won't. Now, the disciples, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, other people were told about this, and they said, "Why, what did he take us for? Cannibals? We're going to eat him? Take this bread and eat it as my body? Are we supposed to be cannibals?" And of course, some people, how many of you have heard of the Eucharist? All right, that's called, literally the good gift, you and Caris. The Eucharist is what the Catholic Church gives to people. Basically, they'll give them the last unction, the holy unction or supreme unction. Did you know that John Kennedy was given last rites 5 times before he was grown? He was so sick when he was young. And however he did the things he did in his life, that took some real determination. He was given last rites 5 times, and they gave him last rites expecting him to die. And in the Catholic Church, the last rites or the extreme unction is what it does is it confers grace. The Lord's Supper does not confer grace. Baptism does not confer grace upon you. What does baptism confer upon you? Huh? That's the door to the church.
Okay.
That's where you get the leadership of the Holy Spirit is after baptism. Okay? Now, how about the Lord's Supper? There's 2 ordinances in the church, aren't there? The Lord's Supper and baptism. And you can't have the Lord's Supper until you have baptism. All right? Because you are not in the church until you are baptized. That's the door to the church, basically. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be saved at all. That has nothing to do with salvation. But in order, if you look over there to the tabernacle, if you look at that tabernacle up there, you see out here in the yard, there is an altar, a brazen altar in there. And then there's a laver there where they dip the priest the first time, and then they wash their hands as they went in there before. That's a type of salvation right there at the sacrifice, and that's a type of baptism. And then what did they do? Then they went into the holy place, and then the Holy of Holies. The holy place, this is also a type of church in the world that we live in today, the type of church in the world today. There's a lot of people that get saved and never baptized. And they're going to go to heaven. They are. They're going to go to heaven. But the true defined revelation of God's Word comes after baptism. Now, many churches baptize for the original sin, don't they? And then after that, you've got to be a good boy. I've never been a good boy. I'm a sinner, saved by grace. That's it. That's it. Neither have you. And I've been baptized at least twice. I was baptized in 1970, I think, the first time. And then I went to Nevada as a missionary, and I started working with a church up there, and they were an independent Southern Baptist, Missionary Baptist church. And they said, well, if you want to work with us, I said, yeah, I'd like to work with you. I've been preaching there for 2 years at that church and being a missionary. They said, well, you need to be baptized. We won't accept anybody else's baptism. That's fine with me. And I was baptized in January in Fish Lake Valley. That's a cold place in January, I'm telling you. It was about 15 or 20 below zero. But I went out there and was baptized, and when I got out, my hair was froze.
That would have been a fast baptism.
It was a fast baptism, brother, I can assure you that. I dried off real fast and shook the ice out of my hair. My hair was down to my waist at that time. But I had the leadership of the Holy Spirit after I had baptism. I was saved when I was young. And I never had the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But I had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And God never turned me loose not 1 minute in my life. He herded me. Herded me. All of my life. Just like his little sheep. He herded me. The Lord is my herder. My shepherd. The word shepherd there is roe in Hebrew. Roe. What in the world does that word mean? Any of you know what roe means? It means to see. That's what it literally means, roe. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that was seen. All right? Roe means to watch after. The Lord that watches after me. You know, when you've been saved, when you're born again, when the Spirit of God indwells you, God's going to watch over you no matter what. You're His. You're His. Okay? You're His. And Moses, he has given to ye the bread out of the heaven, but the Father of me, he gives. Now look at this, third person singular, present indicative action. It wasn't a maybe thing there. He gave it to him. He gave to him the bread out of the heaven, the true, the alethanon. What does the word alethia or alethanon mean? Remember what that word means? Know what that means, Stephen? How about you, Brother Corey? You remember that? Brother Bill. Alethanon.
I don't remember the word. I'm trying to
think. All right. Cindy, you remember what that word means? All right. No? Rebecca, you remember that word? How about that word, Roger? What? It means without any shadows.
Yeah.
It means to put it in the total light with no shadows, not hidden, unhidden. All right? This is the true bread that came out of heaven. That manna was just a type of me to come. But I am the true bread. I am the true bread. And if you eat of this bread, you're going to have eternal life. All right, verse number 33. He just goes on, off and on. He'll go off on another subject and he'll go right back to the bread all the way through this whole chapter. Holgar, artos tu theou, esten, hol kata binon. Ek tu uranu, kai zoain deduce tu kosmu. For the bread, now this is an oblative singular maxim, for the bread belonging to and coming from God, he is the one having come down. Look at this one, nominative singular maxim. This is Jesus, this nominative singular masculine person here. Present participle, the one having come down, or coming down out of the heaven, and life-giving. Nominative singular masculine, present participle, acting to the world, the cosmos. Cosmos. What verse in John could you cross-reference this to? What verse in John would this cross-reference to? He spoke it before what? John 3:16. For God so loved what? The cosmos. All right? He so loved the world, the whole created order, that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, individuals in the world, if you want to get saved, you're going to have to get saved by the person of Jesus Christ. Okay? He's going to have to save you. You only have one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's no other way to get to heaven. Okay? And if you have repented of your sins and call upon the Lord to save your soul, you are going to be with Him. That's punctiliar, first aorist, knife, blade, action, salvation. It's done with for right then. Okay? The leadership of the Holy Spirit comes later. Okay? It comes later. John 3:16. Now God is going to save all of the terra firma in the whole universe. Did you know that? All of it. You know what terra firma means? Huh? All of the created material matter. He's going to create. His Son died to purchase it all back. He's going to get it all back. And you're going to get to be part of that. You're going to get to be part of that material creation. And how did He do that? Because God was related to it, because He became born of a woman. Did He not? Born of a woman. And therefore, He's born of a woman, He's related to the earth, and He's related to the rest of the universe, because all of that matter came from God. And God's going to redeem it back through His Son. Apon, un pros auton, kure, pon tote, dos himen, ton arton tuto. And they said therefore to Him, Lord, Master, always You give to us this bread. We want this bread and we're not going to get hungry again. Remember the woman at the well in John the 4th chapter? He offered her eternal water, didn't He? Now, who did that water represent that He was going to give to her? Huh? In the Old Testament, where did it come from? Oh, the rock that followed Israel in the wilderness, the rock that flowed water from it in the wilderness. He was that type. All right? Are you guys getting cold? No? Okay. 6:35. Apen, autois, ho esus, ego eimi, ho artos, teis zoes, ho erkomenos, pros eme, ou me, penase, kai, ho pisioon, eis eme, ou me, dipseste popote. Now He's going to tell them everything. Now He's going to tell them that He's the rock that followed Israel in the wilderness, and that He's also the bread of life, the manna. And He said to them, the Jesus, ego eimi. What is ego eimi? Where was that quoted in the Old Testament? In the Septuagint. Where is that? Where is that? Exodus 3:14. Who's got Exodus 3:14? Exodus 3:14. Let's look at that for just a moment, because He's quoting that. John is talking from the book of Exodus today. He's preaching from Exodus tonight. He's bringing it over into the New Testament. Cindy, are you over there? No. Exodus 3:14. Sharon, are you over there already? You want to run up here and read that for us? Exodus 3:14. Yeah?
God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you.
All right. What do you think Jesus is doing? They're very familiar with the Septuagint, and he's using the term I am, ego eimi here. So what does that do? That gets their attention when he says that. I am the one that sent, you know, that sent Moses. Or he brought Moses in here. And he said to them, I am the I am, and I am the bread. The bread belonging to life, Genesis singular feminine. The one coming toward me, know not. Look at that word. Ume. We have an adverb of negation and a particle of negation. And when you've got two negatives in front of a word or something in Greek, it's not, it doesn't, in English it cancels itself out, but in Greek it intensifies it. Know not, he may hunger. Now look at this. What kind of a mode is that in there, Sister Cindy? And that one, he may hunger. Hey, nase. See what kind of mode that is? That's a subjunctive mode. That's a maybe mode. What does that tell you? That you got a volition. That's what it says, that you have volition. No mod, he may hunger, or he may hunger from now on. It's up to you. And the one believing, nominee singular masculine, present participle, active. Look at this. Because of me, ace, because of me, know not. He shall thirst no never at any time. Little adverb there. You can find that on page 358. Know not he may thirst. Third person, singular, future, indicative, active. Know not he may thirst. And in Exodus 17 and verse 6, we have Moses striking the rock and making water come out of it. And that rock followed him all the way through the wilderness. Now, according to the rabbinical writings and the Talmud, it says that that rock followed them wherever they camped. The rock followed them. Scooting around out there in the wilderness. Have you ever heard that, Brandy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The rock scooted around out there and followed them wherever they camped. Okay. That's the Exodus. What? He struck it once. Okay? The next time that they needed water, he was supposed to speak to that rock because that rock typified Jesus in his first coming and his second coming. And the first coming was Jesus struck. Genesis 3:15, yes, he was struck. He was literally killed. He gave his life. Literally, he wasn't killed, but he literally was crucified, and he should have died, okay, and he would have died, but he gave up his spirit. He died at the moment he wanted to die. He gave up his spirit, okay? He gave it up. But Jesus Christ came into this world to do what? To die for us, that we might have eternal life. He came into this world to be related to us and bring us to salvation. And verse number 36, let's read that one just a minute. All apon himen hote kai irakete me kai u pisuete. And they told to ye, because both ye have seen me and not ye continue, or you continually not believe. You have seen me, you've seen the miracles, you know where my birth was, you know that I was born of the right family, I was born in the right place, and I've done the miracles, and you continue not to believe. And they continued not to believe, and they damned themselves. See, we went from 625 to 36. We did 11 verses tonight. See, there's Rebecca, I've got 10 verses tonight. My whole goal this time was to do 10 verses a class. Last week, I think I did almost 20 verses or something. And then we've been moving right along in the book of Exodus, too. Well, let's have a word of prayer and go out and do something eternal. Do you have any questions? Do you have any, Brandy?
Okay. Jump in, Simone, and I got go over indicative.
Okay, indicative mode is a mode of a statement of fact. It's determined. It's a fact. The indicative, if you do something, if it's indicative of something, it means it's true of something. That's a mode that is a fake statement of fact. The indicative mode and the subjunctive mode. All right, the subjunctive mode.
Okay, so in verse 35, when he says, may hunger, that's subjunctive.
That's right.
But shall thirst is indicative.
Yes.
So may hunger gives the idea of having volition.
Yes.
So shall thirst.
Okay, now where's your shall? He shall thirst, yeah.
Yes, shall thirst.
And not he shall thirst. That's indicative because after he is, if he eats or if he drinks, he'll never thirst again. Okay? He shall never thirst again.
But the one coming to me may or may not.
May or may not, but after he partakes, then he will never thirst again. Yeah. Once he partakes, he'll never be hungry again. Like he told the woman, if I would have asked, you should ask of me water that you'll never have to draw again, that you'll never be thirsty again. He said, well, I want that. And if they partake of this bread and drink of this water that he is typified, they will never be thirsty or hungry again. They'll never be thirsty or hungry again. All right? Anything else? Bill?
Yeah, I'm looking at John 3:16. Could you interpret it? I'm going to give you my interpretation of that when you tell me if I'm wrong, okay? So the God so loved the cosmos that he gave us one and only physical image. And whosoever believeth in him, God, that he said cannot will.
That image.
Yeah.
In Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I can interpret it. That he cannot impossible to die if he believes in Jesus Christ.
He will never die. Not forever. You won't die spiritually.
Yeah.
You'll never be separated from God spiritually. You'll always be with God. And that is the point. That's that knife blade first aorist. Salvation is knife blade, punctiliar, very sharp action. You don't have to get saved again. Just once. May have to repent a few times. Maybe sorry, but you are only saved once. All right. Anything else before we turn you loose on the world? No? No? Corey, you want to come up here and dismiss us in prayer, brother?
Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we are thankful for this evening and all the